Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for checking out this episode of Sex with Emily. Tonight, we're talking about how social media is changing the way we date, mate, and relate. Is it making it easier or harder to be in a relationship? Are we the generation of validation on tonight's show? Also, I want to thank everyone for supporting my show. And as you know, I love to keep it free for you. So thank you for supporting my sponsors. I am obsessed with my No-No Pro. I've spent so much time and money on razors and waxing and getting rid of all this hair. And you know what? No-No Pro is the best way to remove unwanted hair, and there's no pain. You could do it at home. I do it when I'm watching TV. No one even has to know. Oh, it's for men too. Whether it's your legs or your arm or your face, you know, guys get the hair on the back and stuff like that. You might want to get rid of it. You will love how easy this is to use and the weeks of long-lasting results. You don't have to think about it. No-No Pro comes with a 100% 60-day money-back guarantee. And when you purchase it, you'll get a $50 gift card to an award-winning skincare line. Go to nonoemily.com. That's nonoemily.com.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list. Have you not signed up for my mailing list yet and you're actually a listener? I don't understand, because my mailing list, first of all, if you sign up, you get the five biggest mistakes you're making in bed if you're a man or a woman. Plus, I send you emails just like once a week, and they're actually informative and helpful. And people always say, oh, I love your emails. And who says they love your emails, right? Who likes emails? So check it out. And also subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, because then you never miss a show. There's two a week. They're awesome. And one more request for you all is that I would just love when next time you're on iTunes, if you might want to give us a review. Tell us what you think of the show, right? I'm here with Anderson.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice when people review?
It's nice to get feedback. Yeah.
I know, but we charged for the show. Like, remember when I was like, been trying to make a living at this for a long time?
I never knew when you were whoring yourself out. You've always been free when I've known you.
Right. Yeah. But I did a little stint, and then there was some, I just noted there was angry people who were like, why are you charging? But we're not doing it anymore. So if you're enjoying
it's worth it. It's worth $5 an episode from the stuff that you learn about the bedroom.
I know, honey. How much have you learned?
Quite a bit. My wife's kind of happy.
I don't tell you
what I learn or what I use, but I learn stuff.
Like, really? Like, you take stuff home?
I've learned a few things.
What? Tell me one.
I've learned a couple things.
Give me one.
You know what? I don't want to.
Oh, Anderson, you're so
makes
not
me uncomfortable.
Well, and she'd I'm happy be to furious. See, I'm happy to. Okay, fine. But your wife loves me.
But she does. She likes you quite a bit, yes.
Okay, well, Anderson, it's good to see you. Welcome back.
It's good to see you, Em. Thanks.
And I'm excited. My guest tonight is Annie Daly. Annie is a freelance writer. And she's actually awesome. She lives in Manhattan, and she's a freelance writer. She writes for a bunch of magazines. I'm sure you've seen her name. She writes for New York Post, Women's Health, Self, L Shape Health Men Time Out New York, and primarily covers sex, dating, relationships, health, wellness, diet, fitness, and millennial trends. And I actually met Annie when... Hi, Annie.
Hey.
I'm so glad you're here.
How's it going?
Actually, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
You look so pretty and tan and healthy. And
well, I've been raging the California life for about a week now.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Isn't it great here?
I'm obsessed.
Are you moving?
I want to.
Okay.
At some point.
Okay, good.
I'm about to turn 30, and I feel like maybe that decade will be the decade of change.
I think it should be. 30s are good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Annie and I met originally when you were at Cosmo, right?
Correct.
Like a year, you called me like for quotes or something initially?
Yeah. I think it's because actually I listened to your show.
Oh, okay.
And then I wanted to interview you because you were so great. And so I just called you. And let me tell everybody out there, by the way, just quick little PR thing for Emily. She is the best expert ever because she's so smart and she's so real. And you just get it. A lot of experts don't get it, you know?
Do they, like, send you, like, quotes?
They're, like, sometimes creepy. Like, people... No, it's true.
Right.
People who have PhDs in sex, which, by the way, exists,
right.
as you know.
I have a doctorate in human sexuality. Right.
Yeah.
But they're more, like, technical and...
A little.
Yeah.
You know, and they're old. A lot of them are, like, in their 70s.
Right.
It's, like, these men who are so smart, but they don't exactly have their... hand on the pulse,
the finger,
you know?
Exactly. The finger, like we do.
Oh, yeah.
Annie does for sure. She writes amazing stuff. You got to check out. And you're on Twitter. You're at Annie M. Daly.
Correct.
D-A-L-Y. And this will all be on the website.
And on Instagram, too.
Same name. Instagram, Annie M. Daly.
Yep.
And I love your stories. The New York Post has been big for you lately. I've been
so big.
Some of those things. I mean, that's amazing.
Thanks. And you're a huge star in most of the stories.
I know. I love it. I'm like, great.
That was,
well, it's funny because my intern Madison today was reading stuff and she's reading our story. She's like, and I love that. Oh, the premature escalation thing.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
Can we talk about that? And she was like, that was so great. That was so great. I'm like, that was my quote. But it was totally your quote. Right. Well, it was an article about do we connect too much? Okay. Because tonight's show, as I said earlier, is we're going to be talking all about how is online dating, how is just everything, the internet, social media, how is it affecting your relationship, your ability to date? People are cheating more. They're breaking up. They're spying. They're snooping. I mean, it's also bringing people together. There's lots of good things, but it's completely changing the way we live and function in this world. And we just have some interesting stats and tips about dating. But first, this article was about how it's an interesting point about how we, before we date, if we meet someone online, I think, what was the article about? Tell me, it was about, like, do we talk too much ahead of time? Do we
It was basically about when you meet someone online, right? And then you exchange info. And what happens is you start texting and emailing before you even meet the person. And that's what the article was about, because you can go on these huge, long texting spurts without even ever having met them.
Right.
And it's bizarre because it's like basically the entire context of a first date happens over text.
Right.
And the reason I got the idea for this article is that happened to me. This guy that I met on OkCupid, he seemed cute and normal. And then he started texting me these questions, like first date questions, like, so what's your relationship with your siblings? You know? And he's like, going on any vacations lately? And I'm like, this is just so super weird.
Right.
I don't even know if you're cool.
Exactly. Like, why am I going to waste my time? Were you answering him?
And- well, so eventually I was actually pretty blunt, and I said, listen, I think you're cool and your pictures look pretty cool, but I think that you should save the first date questions for the first date.
Good for
you. I actually said that.
That's good. And then did you like him on the date?
Originally, yes, but then he turned out to be super lame and he actually ghosted me.
What does that mean?
Do I get to introduce a term right
now? Yeah.
Oh, this is
ghosted.
Huge.
What?
Okay, so ghosting is when a guy just all of a sudden never contacts
you. Oh, yeah,
you again.
Yeah, yeah. Disappears.
Yes. But it's ghosting.
It's ghosting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I didn't
a Cosmo
know it was called
term.
That. It is a Cosmo term. You're
oh,
right.
Yeah.
How do I not know that? You just disappeared. But the premise of the article was like, we were like, why, when you meet someone online, you make a connection, you make plans for a date, save it for the date. You shouldn't have too many textings back and forth. And I said to her during the interview, I'm like, it's like we're all prematurely escalating. It's like a premature escalation of the date before it even happens.
Right. And then I think you also compared it to a microwave. It's like when you put a potato in the microwave and all of a sudden it boils in 30 seconds and then it just pops. And that's what happens when you text too much before you meet the person.
Right.
It's just like go, 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 go. Everything happens quickly and then it, you know, it ends just as quickly as it began.
Exactly.
Boom.
And then we create the problem with it, too.
Oh,
and this is my advice
horrible.
For people dating online is that you create this whole thing in your mind. Like, he's a really funny texter. He's really interesting. She, it's great. We have such a connection. And then you walk in and within 2 seconds, you're like, or whatever. Or maybe after a minute, you're like, oh, I'm not that into him. But I spent all this energy getting to know. You might as well just wait till the date. And I don't think you should become Facebook friends beforehand. Like, don't follow on Instagram. Although some guys have asked me to become Facebook friends ahead of time. And I
really?
Say no.
Yeah, no, you should not do that.
No, don't escalate it before you meet them.
Because you know what else sometimes happens? Is they become so boring when you actually meet them that you wish you were texting with them. You wish, I do that sometimes.
I do
it's
too.
Like when I meet someone, I love their texting style and I don't really like their IRL style. So it's like, I just kind of want them to go away so I can text with them.
Exactly.
It's horrible.
I was in a relationship for 2 years like that. And like, he was an amazing texter. And we were together and he's like reading books the whole time. So boring. And I'm like,
yeah.
Let's go. Like, I'm going to go in the next room and just text me something funny. And then there was like a stat. We have all these great stats online, and it said something like about how men are, I'll get to it in a second, but like some percentage of men say that social media obviously is making them, 80% of women, this was from ABC News, it says that social media leads to faster sex. Men and women say communicating via social networking, instant messaging, texting leads them to the bedroom faster. So not necessarily before the date, but just even if it's after the first date, 80% of women say relationships lead to sex more quickly because it's so easy to stay connected. 58% of the men surveyed said flirting over Facebook, text, and GChat helps them get women into the sack sooner. So it's all about the words because the brain, we love a clever guy.
Oh, yeah. It's not even about the words, though. It's about the likes and the pokes and everything.
Oh,
that's
right. Especially the pokes.
Pokes are kind of old school.
Right,
I can't believe
school.
I just said that.
No, I get it.
What I really
People
mean is the likes.
People still poke me, though. I'm like, really? How did
really?
You even find the poke button? It's gone.
Pokes you, man.
Random people.
But okay.
Yeah, it is all about the likes and the it's all of that. It's we want affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
We want to feel good. What is this?
And it's I would also say it's a little bit lazy on the dude's part, just because it's like they want you to know that they're thinking about you, but they don't want to go to too much effort to let you know that. And
right.
So it's just this little thing where it's like they want to keep you in their back pocket, just kind of keep you on one of their many burners.
Because
and just
now,
like throw you a little like and you get excited for a brief moment in time and you're like, ooh, maybe that means something.
Right. And then we analyze, what did the like mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a photo of me, whatever. Did he meet? Like, do you think he really meant to like me? It's like we analyze everything. It's like, it's a goddamn like. And I also think like texting was invented, I used to say for guys, but it's for men and women too. Because think about like the booty call before texting. It was like you'd call one person, you'd wait. But now like a guy can, or a woman, I've done it. You can text five people, like whoever shows up first or who has plans tonight. And you just keep like texting and going and we're all connected in a way that, I mean, but do you think it's healthy, unhealthy?
I think that as with most things, it goes both ways. And it's like, I think that it's healthy if you use it right. And the whole thing for me is that you have to accept it and not resist it. Because I think it's when you try to resist it so much that it becomes unhealthy. Because then it backfires. And if you just kind of accept it as something that is just part of life and you treat an Instagram like as something that does matter to your relationship instead of just dismissing it as like, oh, that's social media. It doesn't matter.
Right. Because a lot of people
does.
Are like, no, it does matter. Like it's everything.
Right.
It is really, it's how I run my business and connect with
it,
friends.
It matters.
It's everything. It does matter.
And so, yeah, I think that it's really important to realize that.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. So we also talked about, I mean, it matters, but it's also
it
like,
does.
I know. And so what about this? Okay, so there's all these studies I have here, but tell me about your, we'll go to this in a minute, but your most recent article that just came out in Elle online.
Oh, yeah.
And generation validation.
Yeah.
I love it. So tell me about your article.
Okay, so this article, it was actually inspired by a friend of mine who said that one time she got dressed for a wedding and she went out the door and she thought that she looked so good. She had gotten a blowout, had on really nice makeup, like loved her dress. She gets to the wedding and she didn't get a compliment right away. And she just kind of, all of a sudden, she just assumed that her outfit was terrible because somebody hadn't told her that it was awesome.
Right.
Even though she thought that it was awesome on her way out the door. So I started thinking about that and I was like, you know what? There's something to be said for that. I think that our generation, everything that's happening on social media and online, it's seeping into our real lives. And we're so used to getting all of these likes online.
Right.
Especially the key thing is that a lot of the likes that we get, they don't really matter.
Right.
It's like you can post a picture of a cupcake. And I said this in the article. It's like people We'll post a picture of a cupcake. It's terribly photographed. It's bad lighting. The frosting is like all like melty and gross. It's in no way a good photograph, let alone a cool creative thing to post. And we'll get 100 likes. So what does that mean? You know, it's
right.
Like,
I think does it mean they like the person? So they're like, oh, I'm just.
Yeah, it's
I
like an obligatory like. It's
right.
Stupid.
It is stupid.
And so what the experts say is that that then dilutes the value of the like, which basically means that when the value of the like is diluted, it means that everybody then expects them for everything. And so then when you are translating that to real life, it's like you're not just waiting around for something to actually matter to get liked. You expect everything that you do to be liked.
Right. I do.
So, yeah.
I like post a picture on Facebook. I'm like, God, I thought I'd get a lot more likes on that. Like, it kind
right.
of, I'm like, should I take it down?
I know.
Usually
but
I get
like,
100. I got 10. It was probably lame. Maybe I look ugly, you know?
But here's the trick. Do you want to hear a trick?
Yes.
Okay. And this is
call all my friends and tell them to like it so I feel better. No.
No. It comes from within. This
right,
is about to sound pretty
myself.
Heady.
No, I like it.
Yeah. So it's like basically if you post a picture and then you picture yourself in 5 minutes going back to check to see how many people liked it, then if you ask yourself if you need to do that to feel good, if you don't need to do that, if you can like picture posting the picture and not looking back at it for about an hour or two and not caring,
then I'm healthy.
You should post it and then you're healthy. And if you picture yourself needing to go back to see how many people liked it right away, then it's unhealthy and you're seeking validation from other people rather than
right.
from yourself.
Which most people do anyway.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I was texting with a guy friend last night who just broke up with this girl who I told him was cheating on him. I could just tell. He's like, well, she's got an ex-boyfriend and they're working together in the same town right now, but she says, you know, that they're just friends. I'm like, and whatever. She'll tell me ahead of time if they sleep together. And I'm like, they're sleeping together. Okay, I'm telling you she's sleeping with him because she was kind of seeing both of them.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I get this
of
like
course.
Desperate call from him last night. He's like, you know, she told me you were so right. She's sleeping with him. Like she's out of town for like 6 weeks doing stuff for work. I said, yeah, I told you that. He said, well, why? Well, this is all through we talked and then we texted. He says, well, why, how could someone do that? Why do women need to? I'm like, well, everyone does it. I said, he said, is it because she needs validation? I said, actually, and this is even besides social media, I think so many of us, you know, women and men who are challenged with low self-esteem, and we keep looking for other people. Maybe she's sleeping around or wants all the attention. You know, she's also like in the entertainment industry, whatever. But when we constantly are trying to get affirmation from the outside, it just means that we're trying to fill ourselves up. But we're like, it's like an empty hole because until we love ourselves... Mm-hmm. No, a million. I could get 5 million likes on something, but it'll still make me feel. It won't fill me up. It's not real. It's not until you love yourself. And I was saying,
exactly.
She clearly has some insecurities, and because of other things he told me, and people do it for a lot of reasons. But yeah, she's probably with this guy. He's telling her she's beautiful. She feels good, and she likes the attention from men. And you know who doesn't? But in what time? At what point do you like stop? And you're like, I love myself. It doesn't matter. Because kind of what we're saying is like, it shouldn't matter what other people think.
Right. And
but this whole social media thing is all about, like, I care if I get retweets and stuff because it helps
of course.
Get more followers and more whatever. Like, it matters, but then it just seems so, I mean, this wasn't existing. We weren't having this conversation a
I
year
know.
Ago, and now it
I
runs
know.
The world.
I mean, I think that the big thing that we all have to do is you just have to stop and pause a little bit more. And that's, I think that that's the big piece of advice is that everything is happening faster. Everything is happening more quickly. So it's really easy to just go, 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 and just not stop and think about what you actually think.
Right.
And so if you do that just a little bit more frequently, and that sounds so therapist-y,
no,
which is
I get
stupid,
it.
But
I
it's just like
phone
stop
away.
And check in with yourself, which again, I kind of sound like one of those creepy 70-year-old men.
No, but it's
but
true.
It's so true.
You got to stop. You got to turn
you
your phone
really
off.
You really have to.
Yeah. How about like on dates and stuff? So what about all this like everybody on dates who are using their phones or they're in relate? Let's not even say dates because dates, I think most people know, at least on the first date. I just go to the bathroom if I want to check the phone.
Oh, yeah.
But no, we put it away. I hope so.
Wait. Side note to that real quick. Yeah. I one time got a compliment on a date for not bringing my bathroom or not bringing my phone to the bathroom because he was like, you're the first girl who hasn't brought her phone to the bathroom. And I know what you guys are doing in
they
there.
They know?
They know.
Oh, my God. Or they run to the bathroom and I'm checking. I'm like, I hope they
oh, yeah.
Back.
No, they know. because I was complimented on the fact that I left it on the table.
That is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Did you consciously leave it on the table?
I did, actually, because I could see him. He was, like, watching me. And I was about to grab it because, of course, I wanted to check Instagram.
Right. Duh. It's like overcoming an urge.
Oh, I know. And I didn't.
And you got affirmed. You got complimented.
Yeah.
It's true. No, it's...
So, ladies, don't bring your phone
to
the bathroom.
Oh, my God. I just did it on a date the other night. But I didn't really like the guy. But still... Wow. I can't help it.
You knew what you were doing on the
toilet. You knew what I was doing. I know. I literally was texting my best friend from the bathroom because I'm going to see her. I'm going to Chicago tomorrow. And I had to text her something about my flight. I'm like, I'm in the bathroom on a blind date texting me right now. She's like, oh, my God, you're hilarious.
I bet that you've responded to some of my interview emails in the
bathroom. Probably. I probably am. Like, Annie, I got to go. But here's the thing. Here's what we're talking about. I think there's another thing here. God, we have so many things about how this is from like Time Magazine or something. When does our obsession with our phones, our apps, and our social media presence become like a fungal rot on our real life social presence, which is kind of like what you're talking about? Like, are you, there's other stats that say like the percentage of people who've checked their phone during sex or is it just impacting
their... Oh, yeah, that's a pretty high number as I recall.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I mean, not during oral sex. But... No, like I had to go... He was performing oral sex on me. No, it was funny because I was like, wait, if it's Lauren, I got to check because it's my assistant. I'm like, because we got to get this newsletter out. I'm just looking for the last, I just got to check real quick. I did.
Where did that relationship go? Let me just turn the tables
We still sometimes see each other. He gets me, but I don't want to be that. But I read that. I'm like, who does that in bed? I'm like, does oral sex count? Okay, I did it during oral sex because my phone was right next to me and I was trying to get a newsletter. Anyway, it's stupid. But
and you have good vision in that point, so, you know.
Right, I've got good vision. Right?
Yeah.
I'm really clear. I'm going to proof it now. Do you mind if I proof this? But that get couples too at night, you know, it's taking away the intimacy in the bedroom. Couples are on their phones. Like, I know that I'm like reading things on my phone at night. And I know it's like studies say also like it's not good for you for your brain waves to be reading it, to looking at your phone before you go to bed, and you should like read a book or meditate.
Oh yeah, it has the blue light. It makes you not sleep if you look at it for an hour before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
But
I like sleep with it on my pillow.
Yeah,
well, charging.
I know.
Do you? Does
yeah,
that one?
Under my pillow.
Yeah, under my. Well, under
are
my
we weird?
Is, yeah,
I think we have a lot of similarities.
Well, it's embarrassing because my charger goes like right, and then I put it under my pillow, so it won't fall off the bed. But I literally
roll
over.
Yeah, then you
over.
Have easy access.
Yeah, and then I cuddle it. You know, it's like, yeah. No, I don't cuddle my phone. But I could, you know, and I'm always looking for it because I'm always like, you know, it's just we're so attached. And I do think that it's affecting our relationship. So I think that it's also a rise of narcissism.
Yes.
And it's a rise of like, you know, you think about it like when you're on FaceTime. It's like, are you looking at yourself? Are you looking at the person? Like, you know, everything that we do is trying to get these like affirmations and stuff. And I think narcissism didn't exist before.
But it is definitely magnified now. And I think that my whole thinking about that is that you really just need to find someone who's compatible with your social media style, as stupid as that sounds.
Exactly.
But it's like there are some guys who are just completely not on it at all.
Right.
And there are others who are. And if you are self-aware enough to know that you are one of those people who's always on it, then it makes sense to partner yourself with someone who is too, because then you'll get each other more.
But maybe, and it's, right, but what if you're with someone, like I know a guy I was dating when I first moved to LA, it drove him crazy. He's like, just don't look. And that bothered me that he was monitoring me, like, don't check it. But in a way, it's healthier not to. Like, I was hanging out with him watching a movie, like, what did it matter on Saturday night when my phone was, like, why couldn't I turn it off?
I know.
I also, like, div dated guys who's like, I get it, baby, check your phone. It's cool. Like, do it, you know. But it's I do think that a lot of relationships have been ruined and affected by social media and by certain people's like addiction to their phone and being more into their phone or their laptop than they are to their partner. Like my friend says her boyfriend, they're a long distance relationship, and now of course like 6 months in or 7 months in, she's like, yeah, and then he's on the iPad all weekend, and it's like or it's in the bedroom, or it's, so I don't know. I guess before that maybe we were watching TV, but it's just become more and more you're just connected with everyone, and I don't know how healthy it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It really, I go back and forth on the issue. I really, really do. And I think so much of it depends on who you're dating at the time. And,
you're right.
And it really does, because, you know, if you're with someone who understands and who gets it and won't be monitoring you, then it's fine because you both know your limits. And that really gets back to just accepting social media as a part of life.
Right.
Which is what I really have just come to conclude with all of this stuff, is that you can't ignore it. And it's like, it's real. It's here. And
it's not going anywhere.
Extension. People used to say that it was like you're a different self. It's kind of the same self, you know?
And that's
what you really need to focus on.
That it's how is it the same self, though? Because what if you're projecting a certain, if you want to project something that isn't really, is it really the same you, or are you like only posting you in certain light? You're not like when you're crying on your bed and depressed.
Oh, I know.
It's like when you're out with your girlfriends having a good time, but like people always be like, you're always out. I'm like, I never go out. I'm like, because you see me on Instagram. Or it's a, you know, yeah. That's another weird thing that when you talk to people, they're like, God, it seems like your work is taking off or you're so busy. And I'm like, I've been home the last 3 nights working, you know, but social media, if they see 3 of my pictures a week or whatever, it looks like that I'm, you know, people just make these assumptions about you.
Oh,
and
I know.
I am out, but I'm also home a lot doing other things and in my pajamas and my Uggs just hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
I know, it's true. I think that we just need to rely on the smartness of people to understand that that's the case. And I think there have been enough articles about that recently, and people understand that it will be weird for me to post a picture of me in my Uggs with like no makeup on and my retainers in, you know?
Right, exactly.
Which, by the way, I totally still wear them.
Do you wear them when you're out with a guy?
Seventh grade. No, no.
You still wear it in seventh grade?
From seventh grade, no, right. And I'm now 29. Yeah.
And you didn't lose it?
I have not lost it.
I get mine
it
like
adjusted
a week later.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Your teeth are very nice.
Thank you. You know why.
That's so funny because I lost mine like a week after my brace. Oh my God, my phone's playing.
What just happened?
I don't know. I opened
something is happening.
Oh, I hate when that happens. And then the whole Facebook thing. So here's an article about Facebook. That's what I was opening. It says that, okay, so we said that it leads them to the bedroom faster. And then 10 years ago, people would have to go on several dates to connect and share the same amount of information. So social media and texting are cutting out the middleman, allowing daters to flirt. And is this easy access hurting us, helping or hurting us? And 51% people said that, this is from an ABC poll, between iPads and cell phones in the bedroom, couples' time isn't as intimate as it used to be. And that people are, you know, using it during sex.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I just admitted that. It wasn't actual sex. It was oral
sex. That is a distinction with a difference, as
okay.
they say.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that it's different when you're dating versus when you're in a relationship, honestly.
Right.
Because I think that when you're dating, it really does help you get to know a person, especially Instagram. I'm a big Instagram into your life person.
Right.
Because it really is a window into who you are, especially because people use it frequently. And you can't really put on that much of a front when you're on it all the time and you're kind of documenting your day-to-day life, you know?
But so tell me about, like, do you have a strategy with your, like, do you post certain things? I hope I follow you. I don't follow you. I want to follow you.
I think you do. I follow you.
Okay, good.
Oh, no.
I'm going to follow you after this. But what do you, because everyone's saying that Instagram is the, I'm Sex with Emily on Instagram. She's Annie M. Daily. But,
mm-hmm.
But what do you mean? Like, well, how do you think Instagram more so than Twitter, or why do you think that's?
Well, because I think that, first of all, we are all visual creatures, and it's, our eye is just drawn to images more than words, I think.
Right.
At a fundamental level, especially with our just, you know, our low attention span, it's just the picture grabs you. So I think that's what the main advantage that it has over Twitter. And also it's, you know, it gives you, I like to think of Instagram posts as a little mini magazine, every single post, because it gives you a chance to show people how you see the world, and then you get the chance to caption it and you tell them your thoughts about it. And it's like a direct insight into your brain. And it's just, it's more so.
I always
so,
feel like it's so random. I'm like, oh, that's funny, but I'm not thinking about it. But I guess
but
it is.
It's because you think it's funny.
Right.
There's actually, so there's an app. It's new. It's called Glimpse. I think I interviewed you for this story.
Yeah. I remember this. Okay.
So it's basically, it's a combination of Instagram and Tinder. And they say that it's really, really rising and it's about to, you know, be up there with Tinder. And what it does is it allows you to pick 9 of your favorite Instagram pictures that you think represent who you are. And that's what people look at, and that's how people judge you, is by your Instagram photos.
And that's so, it's a dating app.
It's a dating app. And so then if you like somebody's pictures, then you start talking to them and you're like, yo, I love that sunset picture that you took. I also like to take sunset pictures.
Right. And that's so how you start the conversation. Yeah. And I've been hearing that more and more from people who said, I met this guy. I didn't get his phone number. I didn't get anything. But I got his Instagram account. So now I've been liking his photos and he's liking mine. Oh, and it's so interesting that how it connects people like that. You're right.
Absolutely. Because it's like it's the gradual. And the post, I actually called it Insta Love. And that's what it is.
And this was which? This was a story. I think it was called
if you just type in Annie Daily New York Post Insta Love, it will probably Insta-love. Pop up.
Yep. No, I have it right here. Yeah. I have so much here about your stuff. So, yeah, Insta Love. Article Finding Love on Instagram versus Tinder. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to talk about Tinder, too.
Oh, yeah. Instagram. Yes,
but
we do.
What were you just saying before? I just cut you off.
I was just saying overall that I really – that Instagram, it to me, that's the thing that makes dating the easiest.
So are you on Glimpse?
I'm on Glimpse, yep. I'm on all of them. I'm on Glimpse. I'm on Tinder. I'm on OkCupid. I'm on whatever, you know?
Okay. We got to get into all the Tinder – because there's so many like – but there's so many theories now. Like I was talking to a woman the other day at a meeting. Of course, it was about like a professional meeting. And then like after the meeting, she's like, okay, so I'm on Tinder when everyone has their questions. She's like, I heard the first photo is supposed to be this and the one that catches them. And the second one has to be your playful. And I'm like, really? Like there's all these strategies? But we're going to get to that in a minute. First, I'm going to give it a little word, shout out to our sponsors here. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show and for supporting my sponsors who help keep this show free. So I got to talk about Good Vibrations. Annie, do you like sex toys?
Somewhat.
Okay, got it. We'll talk about that because I can give you some. So one of the reasons you're able to listen to us for free is because of the incredible people at goodvibes.com because they carry all the best sex toy brands. You can get the Vibratex Dahlia, which is amazing. It's like the new updated rabbit, but even better. The girls. Yeah. Hello. If you have a rabbit from the 90s. Yeah, come to my office.
I actually have that from Cosmo.
You do?
I did a vibrator story one time, and I just got like tons of vibrators just sent to me under my desk.
Oh, I will.
It was amazing.
I'm going to update
stash.
It, okay? Because I need to send you new ones.
Okay.
There's the girls from Vibratex, and when you use coupon code Emily, you can even get the strongest, most orgasmic vibrator of all time, the Magic Wand. So go to my site, sexwithemily.com, click on the Good Vibrations banner to see my favorite toys. Because you know I've tried them all. So if you click on the banner, you'll see my store and all the things I love and use coupon code GVEMILY20 for 20% off, with it, which is a great deal. And goodvibes.com only carries the best brands, like nothing that's like toxic and going to hurt you. And they're all the best things in the world. So you got to check it out. Also, I would tell you about Promescent. So, Annie, you might know this, not from personal experience, but from your writing prowess. 1 in 3 men suffers from premature ejaculation. But you don't have to anymore because Promescent is here to save the day. It's a quickly absorbing delay spray that allows you to have the sex that you want. You don't have to think about your like baseball or your great aunt Margaret because you don't want to ejaculate. You can focus on your partner's hot body now that you have the time to make them orgasm. Promescent also closes the orgasm gap because, you know, it takes men like 3 to 5 minutes to orgasm. It can take women 18 to 40 minutes to orgasm. So what do you do then? You can still take Promescent if it's not even that you come too quickly, but you want to double the time that you last. It closes that arousal gap. It helps you last twice as long. And thousands of urologists are recommending Promescent. It's the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation. Go to Promescent.com to find out more, and you'll love it. So it'll change your life, I promise. Okay, so Annie, Tinder. I know you've got a lot to say on this. So
I do.
You've been on Tinder. Are you still on it actively?
I am, actually. Real quick, funny story
about it.
I have.
Oh,
so,
love it. The travel Tinder.
Okay, yeah.
That's
well, I
all
have
about
two, oh, man, I have two huge Tinder stories to tell. The first one is that I have been in California for the past week. I'm visiting my grandparents in Laguna Beach.
Okay.
So, it's about
so
an
you
got to
get out of the house
here.
Anyway. Just kidding.
So, well, yeah. So they're 87 years old, and they brought me to a happy hour with them, and it was all of their, like, 80-year-old
friends,
right? At, like,
2 in the afternoon?
Right. No, it was at 5 o'clock, actually.
Good.
And they were, you know, taking back some glasses of wine, let me tell you.
I love it.
And so I decided to introduce all of them to Tinder.
Oh, my God, I want to film that. That's amazing.
It was so funny. So they were all – so I had a bunch of, you know, like, 80-year-old people just surrounding me, and we were going through all the dudes on Tinder who were within a 5-block radius, and they made me message some of them. It was so funny. I wrote to one of them, hey, my grandpa thinks you're cute.
Did it work?
Yeah, he wrote back. He was like, hey, what's up? How's it going?
Do you message them first when you match sometimes?
Yeah, I do all the time. Okay. That's the thing. I mean, they message me, but I have no problem messaging them
first.
That's
good. That's bold. Okay.
It is bold. Yeah. It's like, why wait? I don't really think about it, to be honest. That's like my whole thing with Tinder. And right. this is with all of my friends and all of the stories that I've written about it. What the ultimate conclusion is, just from, you know, crowd talking to the crowd, is that people do it randomly and don't really put that much thought into it. And a lot of people think that people are thinking about it more than they are.
You mean as far as their profile or as far as just swiping and picking?
Just swiping. It's like people do it when they're on the couch watching TV. It's just like this absent-minded way to kill time. And no one's really doing it seriously at all. Or when they're drinking. And it's kind of like when you're waiting in line at Trader Joe's or something. And you just like, you're done looking through Instagram. You've seen all the pictures. And you're like, what's next?
Yeah, right. I go around. I do a loop. Yeah. Facebook, Instagram. Right.
Yeah, totally. Just do a little swipe.
Right.
And what happens to me sometimes is I'll like get into it for, you know, I'll like go on a Tinder binge for a little bit.
It is a binge, and then you feel dirty sometimes.
Yeah. And I'll just message a ton of guys, wake up in the morning, and I have all these responses, and I'm like, over it.
Right. That's what I did. I got so
I don't even write back.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're like, that was my moment last night.
Or I
was
totally.
Like, yeah. And then do they ever go, hey, and they message you again?
Yeah. And they'll be like, one time this guy, I went on a Tinder binge and I messaged him and I was like, hey, you're cute. So of course he writes back. And by the time he wrote back, I wasn't even interested.
Right.
And so then he keeps messaging me and he's like, just so you know, there's a guy on Tinder who would love to take you out for a drink. And I'm like, all right, well, now you've reached creep status.
Did you delete him? Right. Did you just block? I know. I had a guy who was posting, I think we matched, and then he messaged me, and then he messaged me again a week later. And then he said, here's a graph of our relationship. And he was like,
what?
He did a thing and he was like a nosedive. He's like, here it was here. And then we've gone. And I'm like, our relationship. Because he's been text. He like probably messaged me 6 times and I just never answered. He's like, like a downward spiral.
So he seriously premature escalated.
He prematurely escalated. I'm like, our relationship. I didn't get back to you. But he was kind of be funny. But whatever.
Yeah. So how did you respond to that though?
I didn't respond. I didn't respond to any of his messages. We just matched. And then he said, hey, like your photo. And then I didn't answer. And then like a week later, hello. And then, like, a week later, like, so I guess this might not work out. Like, it was, like, one of those, like, swingers, you know, remember?
Like, you should have just written back, like, let's just talk about the fact that you made a graph for someone who you've never met.
I
like,
know.
Just let that marinate for a second.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Like, could you just, right. There's something probably more productive you could be doing with your time, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Tinder, there was a study also that said that 21% of taken respondents, so people in relationships, admitted to using dating apps or websites behind their partner's back. 43% were on Plenty of Fish, 37% on Tinder, and 29% on Match. Like, Match is full on. Like, you're paying.
That's weird. You're paying for Match. I've heard of people who do, and OkCupid too. I've heard of people who are, you know, they have boyfriends and girlfriends
exactly.
and they go on. I mean, I think to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is you're just in it for the cheap thrill.
Right.
And it's, you want that like little blip of validation. You want to know that you've still got it, even though you're in a relationship.
This is what happens in relationships, you know? I think, with a lot of people who've been in long-term relationships. Like, women are like, I don't feel sexy. I want to feel desired. And men too, who don't feel appreciated and loved by their wife. They're like, I'll find someone out there. And then I think that's why people have affairs. Like, here, I've been in this relationship. My partner doesn't tell me I'm beautiful anymore, make me feel good. But here's someone who thinks I'm so great, and that's going to make me feel good. And again, it goes back to self-esteem and confidence.
Oh, it totally does.
Because these people, it's like affirmation nuggets is what my ex-boyfriend, one of them, used to call it. Because I used to say to him, like, tell me something good. Like, we'd be emailing. This was before, like, we were texting. We would just email. And he's like, you need a little affirmation nugget, Emily?
Yeah.
I think you're really hot. I'm like, great. I feel better. Thanks. Yeah. Have a good day. I'm going to go back to writing or whatever, you know?
Absolutely.
And you also do get like a dopamine rush every time you get a text or a like.
Yeah.
Or,
oh, that's a proven fact.
Right. And I see it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're also addicted. It's like it's a true on addiction.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah.
So
100% because it's so instantly accessible, then your body becomes used to getting that. And so it becomes harder to get it from within when you can so easily get it from
Everyone
other
else.
People,
I mean,
yeah.
I can't not check it. I almost feel like I want to do like a detox of my phone. Like, I usually do these 10-day silent retreats, these meditation retreats, which I actually want to do
what
again.
What do you think about those?
Oh,
do
I've
those
done it. Yeah, it works. I mean, it works. I mean, it's like anything. It's like I haven't done one in like 8 years. But for me, meditation has been like even though I am not as good at keeping up with the daily practice, I can like do these 10-day things where you have no phone, no reading, no writing, it's called Vipassana. I mean, there's different ones, but I did the first one in Thailand like 15 years ago, but I would just, you meditate from 4 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night. You can't, and you just sit and you're you meditate. And it's just, it's so, it's hard. It's the hardest thing in the world because you can't, can't do anything else. But you really just learn to recognize your mind and learn how to calm it. Because so many of us let our minds, we're so impulsive, especially with our phones and everything. And we let our minds control us rather than learning how to control our minds and our thoughts. We're so much more reactive than proactive. And,
exactly.
And then your mind, but you're sitting there. I mean, I was there for 10 days. It wasn't until like the eighth day that I finally felt that I was actually able to, for 5 minutes straight, not have a thought and just focus on my breath. So for me, it was a really good experience. But like, I can go off the grid for 11 days, like literally off the grid. Like, people can go on vacation now and they've got their phones.
Yeah. Well, I think that when you go off the grid for that long, then when you come back, obviously you won't be able to keep that up. But if it does work for some sort of jump start, that's what those retreats are. Like, if you were to do a digital detox, they're called? Digital detox. They're so, you read about them. I've never done them myself, right. But it would be a jump start. And so it's like, it gets you really conscious and focused on how addicted you are. So then you can come back and maybe manage yourself in more of a normal
way.
And
that's the hard part.
Right.
Is integrating into your daily life.
Exactly.
Like, you can do anything if you're on a monastery somewhere.
That's like the danger with them, though, is that people think that like you come back and it will just magically transform you into the perfect balance. It won't. I think that the only thing it does is it just makes you conscious.
So
then you have to really come back and learn how to do that in your day-to-day.
Exactly. And that's the part that I mean, I still try, like, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, but it's very hard. But I know that it's the for me and for a lot of people, I think, all the stress and all the anxiety in the world, if people truly learned to meditate, to get into their mind, to get out of their mind, and just to learn to focus and relax, that they would just be, there'd be so much less anxiety, so much less stress in the world. Because I think that we're constantly, like the ADD, like I literally have ADD. I mean, I really truly do. But then with the phone, like we all have it, right? Because we're getting pulled in a million different areas. So how do you have a linear thought? Like when you're writing, so you do a lot of great writing. I love all your stories. I love your voice.
Little validation. Here we go.
Oh, no, I mean
Bring
it though. Like I
likes.
Really like your voice. And so my assistant, they're reading all your stuff today too. Like I really do. Like I think you have a great voice. But like, how do you write? How do you sit and do it with like your? Do you turn off your phone ever? Or do you?
I'm the opposite. I actually use my phone. I use those little pick me ups to keep me going.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for better or for worse. It's just what I do, and I think that everybody just finds their own way. But yeah, I mean, I check Instagram. Like when I'm writing, I check Instagram so much it's like unhealthy.
Aren't you glad that no one can see how often you're checking your stuff?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to say like, she was just on 2 minutes ago. Like it does on Tinder, right?
Yeah. Oh, good thing.
So wait, so tell me about, did you go on any dates this week on Tinder? And then
no. Well, that's the funny thing is that I have gone on a couple binges with my grandparents because now we keep going out to dinner. And every time it's like whenever somebody new comes, they're like, let's talk about Annie's Tinder.
They've never seen anything like it.
Oh, yeah. So in the middle of the night, I keep getting all these random messages. So funny. No, I haven't got any dates. But I will say that another time that I Tinder traveled, that's what I call it, is that I lived in Costa Rica for the month of April. I think I told you that.
Yes.
So
I'm Tinder in Costa Rica.
Oh, can you Tinder in Costa Rica?
Tell me.
Yes. So basically I used it in Costa Rica to meet all of the locals. And the funny thing is that there I was staying in Tamarindo, which is a surf town. And when you go abroad, it's like everyone's on Tinder. But it's kind of different when you're abroad than when you're here because here people use it as more of a hookup dating app. There, it's actually a really good way to just meet friends.
Right.
And
when
you're traveling. And it's like I went on all of these Tinder dates and nothing happened with any of the guys except for that I really became good friends with them because they just wanted to be friends with American girls. So it's
weird
to me.
And they weren't creepy and you felt safe.
They weren't creepy. Yeah, it's like one of them. You know, they were all like local Costa Rican guys with dreads, so hot, like surfer boys, six packs. Oh, yeah.
That's
the whole
hot.
Thing. Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's so fun. And then there's
but
no,
like,
and you know that there's not a, even if something did happen, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't, but you're also making friends and connecting. That makes sense.
Exactly. Okay. And it's like, obviously, I probably could have made a move, but it's interesting to know that when you use Tinder abroad, that it does kind of take on a different form.
Yeah.
So
it does.
I highly
good
recommend
to know.
Anybody
so any other Tinder tips or
it.
Stories? Like, what do you think about the pictures and the or have you heard all these theories about like the first picture has to be this and the second picture? And
I have. I think that it's more about what you say first. Like, just don't say, hey, what's up?
Right.
You know,
let's
you have
talk
to
about
say,
the first message. And this
it's
is all
first
for
message.
This is for even online match anything, Facebook. What do you recommend the first message to say?
I think that you need to look into their pictures and see if they offer more than that one picture. If you think that that initial headshot is cute, look into their other ones because they'll have like two or three others. And say something specific or like, where were you in this picture? That looks cool. Like, oh, I recognize that background was this so-and-so beach. Just some sort of question that shows that you actually are talking to them specifically as opposed to just like a
nice pick
copy-paste thing that you're doing to like right. 20 girls.
Is that what guys do?
Oh, yeah. It's like you get these messages. I mean, I know that he has sent this to every single girl in OkCupid. Like
you what? Like what'd you get? Give me an example. Like you could just tell. Guys, we know your jam. Okay.
You have such beautiful eyes and such a nice smile. I'd love to get to know you. It's like, that's so vague.
Right. Exactly. I always tell guys to be specific. Don't just say she has nice eyes. Like I always say like I have this dark circle around my eye, like this brown. I'm like I love when guys are like, God, your eyes are so cool. You have the coolest ring. Like notice something specific like around your eyes and it just makes me melt. I'm like, oh, you're noticing me. You know, like you notice something. It's not just like, you know, yeah, you look pretty or whatever. So the
and
first
it's also less overwhelming,
specific.
Too, for the girl to be the recipient of the compliment when it's a really specific thing.
Right.
Because then it's like it shows that they care, but it's not like, oh, you're beautiful and you're the answer to my everything.
Exactly. You
it's
are
like,
my
that's
everything.
That's a little overwhelming.
Right.
You know?
I know. And
it's like, hey, right. you have nice dark hair. I'm like, thanks.
Exactly. I know. Right. 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 You're like, what? What? So dating. So have you dated online on other sites or anything? Or have you?
I have. I do OkCupid. And that
any other tips for that or that you've written about or like the trends with online dating?
I think that with that, let's see, I think it really does come down to the message and don't make it too long. It's like usually they say that about a paragraph is the best and just really be specific and look for something that actually is makes that person unique as opposed to something that just applies to everyone.
Right.
So pick something out, ask a question, say like, hey, I like that picture of you at a Radiohead concert. I like Radiohead too. Or just pick something out of their profile that they say that they like and just talk about that.
Right.
Because obviously everybody knows what you're on there for. It's like, let's just back up for a second and remember that you're on an online dating site to go on dates.
Right.
And get to the date first.
But
and
so
don't,
many guys
like, message
like,
back and forth.
Right. Don't do it. That's what we started with, the premature escalation. Don't do it too many times beforehand. Like, if you make a date in 2 weeks, like, maybe you can text to confirm. Oh, we talked about this, too, for your article. For your New York Post piece, it's like, we could text to confirm, maybe, and text once or twice, but not
exactly.
a whole, like, so where'd you grow up?
Right. It's stupid.
What's
and
your
it's
favorite
like,
color?
And don't try to be smooth or anything on it. It's like, remember the fact that you're on an online dating site. So are they. Why did you sign up for it? To go on dates. So just go on them.
Are you looking for a relationship? Exactly. You know? Just go on the freaking date. Like, I mean, it's so much. The thing is, I love dating. And so I haven't online dated yet, really. But I did do a few. I actually had a live Tinder date in the studio. Did I tell you that?
You did tell me
yes.
that. That's amazing.
And so it was fun. And Anderson, I was just listening to it, the live Tinder date, because I'm listening. I never listened to my shows. But I listened to that show because I have to pick out a few podcasts for something, and it's pretty damn funny.
I think that he and I hit it off more than you and he hit it off.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah?
true. And then
I
right
like
after I listened to it, he messaged me on Facebook this morning.
Ooh, that's a sign.
No,
you guys got to have babies.
I thought that, no, we're not going to
Facebook message as opposed to text? That's an interesting.
Well, because we're friends on Facebook.
Okay.
But that's why. But we're not like really texting friends because I wasn't into him. I didn't want to kiss him.
Okay.
So that happens. So,
this is public. People can hear this.
What?
That's
I don't,
mean.
But he's not listening. What? No. I mean, we just never texted after the date 6 months ago.
I like
ago.
That dude.
I know. You really like
he
him.
Said
also,
he
would definitely, Anderson, just to play devil's advocate, he would know that she didn't want to kiss him because she didn't. Because
she didn't. Yeah, that's probably a good point.
And
if she
I didn't
did,
hear from him today
he,
until he sent
would've.
Me a link to
he
a...
He was talking about how he liked the dark circle in your eye and he was
did
going
he?
On and on.
No, we didn't.
All right. Let's just be
break
real here.
Yeah.
You can tell when people like each other.
Right.
It's just like, it's not that...
I feel like I know, but I have this habit that the... I don't want to say it's a habit, but what I do is I can talk myself into whereas men decide in 30 seconds I'm going to sleep with her or not. But women, do you ever do this?
Oh, like, yeah.
I like him. I don't know. I'll give him a second, third chance. And then 2 years go by and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not. That used to be a pattern that would last 2 years. Now I'm pretty good after a few months. But women can kind of like rationalize or mm-hmm. think, well, maybe. Or a lot of women want to change a guy, you know?
Yeah. Can't do that.
Can't. No one's going to change unless they want to change. So you are single, actively single in New York
I'm
dating.
Actively
Tell
single,
me about
yes.
New York dating life.
All right. Well, I think that it's really hard. And a lot of it is that the guys are just so ambitious. And it's really hard to date them because they don't have a lot of time. And most of them put work first.
They do before you. Now, yeah. But see, and this is where we had lunch and you said this. I said, well, maybe it's the guys that you're attracted to. Because not.
It's true.
You're attracted to the guys who are driven. But then you have to look at that, like that you're the common denominator. And it's not like every guy in New York is like that. But that's what you're attracted to is drive, ambition.
But yeah.
It's true. More so than here when everyone's like in coffee shops and they're like actors / waiters, right?
Yeah, totally.
Everyone. Like there's no one that is
it's
working.
True though with you though, Annie, because I've met like literally hundreds of people in here. And I think you're the first person to say, so tell me exactly what it is that you do here. You know, you try and figure out what people do. Yeah.
Anderson, you said Anderson.
Or is that the
is
that the reporter in you?
I am.
She's
a reporter. But I don't know.
No one's ever asked me what I do.
Really?
I don't even know what you do.
I do everything.
He works the board. No,
I mean,
he does
you were
everything.
Walking
so,
around. You engineer. Were a person in the room where I was, and I wanted to get to know you.
It was nice.
She's
I liked
nice.
It. I appreciated that.
Annie's awesome. So New York is challenging for that for the men. But I see. But New York is more so than elsewhere. I know that because people, it's a rat race. Like you're always working, trying to make money. You got to make a lot of money to live there. And do you feel like there's that whole bigger, better deal thing going on too? Or just more that people like they're looking over their shoulder that there could be someone else?
Oh, for sure. It's both. It's like, first, it's the ambition curse, which is what I've called it, which is that everybody wants somebody who's ambitious. But then the very quality that you're attracted to is the very one that makes you not able to hang out.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then also there's the fact that, yeah, of course, everybody knows that everyone is on so many sites.
Right.
And also meeting people in real life. That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
It's like you're out at bars and you're meeting people. You're on Tinder. But the weird thing is it's all so casual. And it's like when you're on all of the sites and all of the apps, like I'm on all of them. What do I have to say for it? It's like I've been sitting here for an hour. Have I told even remotely any sort of cool thing that's happened from being on all these sites?
I guess not. Maybe not. Well, have you met any relationships or anything happened?
I've had little flings here and there that have been fun, but definitely all of the people who I've really seriously dated haven't been from online. It's like, I think it's more of a supplement to a lot of people. And I know that a lot of people have found relationships on them too, which again, it's like when you try to generalize these things, it's just all so individual. And of course, some people have met their boyfriends and girlfriends.
Right.
That's good for them. But also, I think a lot of people are in my shoes, which is that it's this supplemental thing that you do sometimes. You don't really have a rhyme or reason to when you do it, how you do it.
And I think, but don't you think people are meeting, the thing is, do you think it's a problem that people are meeting, that there's so many more opportunities now? Because, like, I can't tell you how many, we're going to get in some emails in a second. I wanted you to help me answer some emails from listeners.
Ooh,
but
fun.
It is that so many people are saying, like, oh, I my boyfriend left his Facebook page open, and I noticed that he'd been messaging his ex, and there's all this, like, ex, why are you friends with your ex? Why did you do this or that? Like, there's all this, like, secretive stuff going on that people are doing online where they think they can't get caught, and a lot of it is Facebook. They say Facebook is responsible for, like, a certain percentage of divorces and stuff like that because your ex, you can, like, literally, I think I'm friends with all my exes from the last, since college on my site. You know, like,
yeah, it's like, it's kind of weird to defriend them. It almost shows more about you that you care so much.
Exactly.
You know?
And the whole defriending, like, do you defriend an ex? Do you not? Like, I'm still friends with my ex, but now I'm like, he's got this cute girlfriend and like every day I see him. And my assistant-in-law was like, can you just look? And she went to my computer and she took him off my feed. I'm like, but I kind of liked it in this really, like, masochistic way. Seeing, even though I didn't like him and I broke up, I was like, but I like seeing their photos, but I don't. It makes me feel good and bad. And have you read the studies lately that people who spend more time on Facebook end up feeling more depressed?
Oh, yeah.
There's all these studies
about
that,
too. Yeah,
because,
I mean, that comes down to comparison. Because it gets back to what we were saying. Like, everybody's posting pictures of their best selves, which you have to just really rely on everyone to understand that that's happening.
Right.
And hopefully everyone gets that. But then, of course, when you're looking at somebody's best self life, then you automatically compare your life to theirs and it doesn't look as glamorous.
Exactly.
And so therefore you are depressed.
And they said that more they get depressed, the more time that they spend online. There was like all these stats and their relationships are worse because it's bringing up all these issues because they're checking their partner and why do you like this girl's photo? I mean, my best friend liked my ex's photo on Instagram.
Heart palpitations sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I called her. I'm like, why did you like the photo of him and his new girlfriend to my best friend? Like, I wasn't really mad. It was kind of a joke because she truly is like my sister. I'm like, Really? You had, because I get it. We dated for 2 years and you like him, but you had to like the picture with a new girlfriend. You know, like we all know what everyone's doing too at any time.
I know. And that gets back to, it's like, yeah, man, that like is real.
Yeah.
That's not just something, because when people try to have that as an excuse, like, oh, whatever, that's just Facebook. No, it's not.
You made a decision.
Yeah. In that, that is a conscious like, and it does matter.
It hurt me. It hurt me deeply. Yeah. Okay, let's answer some. I love everyone. Thank you for emailing me at feedback@sexwithemily.com. Oh my God, we're like flying through this. But no. I thought you could help me with this one. It's about snooping. And again, you can email me. And also on Twitter, I wanted to mention this. It's at Sex with Emily. And then Instagram, I'm doing a lot more Instagrams. It's at Sex with Emily and Facebook.com/Sex with Emily. I get your questions however you send them. So this one is about snooping. Dear Emily, man. Lindsay here from Los Angeles. Love your show and following your tips has truly helped me have the best sex of my life. I've done something that I know is wrong, but I also know many people still do it anyways, snooping. Reading my boyfriend's emails and texts. I was hurt so bad in my last relationship that I look at this as an insurance policy. To my pleasant surprise, everything is pretty clean. However, I've discovered a couple small lies. One evening, he said he got a ride home from work with his friend Mike. Turns out, was a female coworker I've never met. There's also been some flirty emails with past lovers that don't lead to anything, but he never just stops it with, hey, I've got a girlfriend now. I obviously can't bring up the snooping, and he hasn't broken any rules technically, but this doesn't make me feel very secure. What are your thoughts? Love, Lindsay.
Whoa.
Now, I feel like that I get these, you know, we get them in Loveline, we get them in my show. People are always, people snoop and they feel bad, but but I feel like every time you snoop, you're probably going to find something. And have you ever snooped?
I actually haven't.
Oh,
which
good.
Is, I know.
Like, I'm probably, like, you actively were like, I could look, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Very much so, because I know that my brain would just go to bad places.
Right.
And so I preemptively don't, but I have a lot of friends who have, and I've also written stories about it too. So
So I would suggest, I mean, so I want to know, Lindsay, I want to know for her, like what led her to snoop in the first place? Because you said he's a great boyfriend and everything is great. And has he ever given you any reason to doubt him in the past? And then studies say 77%, and this doesn't surprise me, 76% of women would look at their partner's email if it were left open. Survey says 69% of men said they do the same thing. So it looks like, but you don't. So you're in that minority.
Right. But that's because I'm kind of weird about that, though. And
no,
I think that
it's
that's
true,
also,
because she said she feels it's true. It's a violation.
Yeah. And I think that's also that comes from just working in Cosmo for so long and kind of having all of that. That brain, it's like you have the brain too, you know, it's like you know where these things can go, and
right.
So I just choose to not, but I totally understand everybody who does. Her situation is hard though, because I think that that's actually like, I think that it really comes down to what you find when you
right.
snoop, because if you find that he's cheating
full on, right,
then hello, bring
abort,
it up,
abort mission
exactly,
right.
But if it's just like little things like that, that's a really tricky situation, especially the ride home from the female coworker
yeah.
who he
Why
said
didn't he
was
just
male.
Say, right.
Why
is she
would
a
he
jealous?
Not
like,
just say
I wonder
that?
If Lindsay's a jealous person. So he just thought, well, I'm just going to not tell her because I know she gets weird about other women. Like, I wonder if Lindsay, she said here she was hurt in her last relationship, right? She said, I was hurt in the past, that she looked so she, so any, I believe, like, I was never a jealous person. And I'm actually still not, but I went through a period. Like in my 20s, I was dating a guy and I found out he cheated on me. At the time, it's because he kept a list of everyone that he slept with in a drawer, and I saw the list and I wasn't the last name on the list. Like that's like so old school. It was like written down, but I still found it. And then after that, I started like doubting him and doubting people, and I let that go. I'm actually a pretty trusting person, but so she was hurt in her last relationship. So it's a trigger and she wanted just as an insurance policy. So I kind of get that. It's really hard to build trust again in men or in women if you've been hurt. But I think that she can't let her past relationship dictate this new one. And but the problem is if she sits on it and doesn't tell him, which I guess why she doesn't want to, because then she's a snooper, she could explode and attack him one day. Like you hold this as an arsenal. Like the next time he's going to take out the trash, she'll be like, why don't you get a ride from your coworker? You know, and you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
I know, totally.
Right? She'll totally like blow up on him. So, you know, I think that, I don't know. Should she, I think she should maybe admit it. That she snooped and say what she found and she won't do it again. But then people don't tell the truth either. Guys don't tell the truth. It's going to be like, you might say, well, I thought you would get hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. On that one, my gut is to not bring it up, and to just keep that in her mind and maybe just let him know going forward that she's kind of trying to get over her past relationship and that she's becoming less jealous. Because if it is that, if the situation was that he was saying that to protect her, if he doesn't feel like he needs to protect her as much, like
right.
if she is seeming more outwardly strong and, you know,
right.
not needing that, like maybe it will be better.
Right.
But that,
so maybe
that,
he won't.
To
but then
me,
he's flirting
just,
with the exes. But see, I always flirt with my ex from 5-10 years ago. I don't want to sleep with him, but
yeah.
we send flirty texts all the time. But not even flirty. Like it's just... it's fun. And if anyone picked up my phone, that if I happen to be in a relationship, they might be like, why are you doing that? But it doesn't mean anything either.
Right.
I just sort of have these relationships with men. We make jokes and I could see them taken out of context and I wouldn't want anyone reading my messages. So yeah, maybe not, Lindsay. Maybe she's got to work on her own jealousy issues. And I wouldn't, because the problem is too, once you start checking, sometimes you keep checking too.
Right. It's like, stop checking for
sure. It becomes an addiction.
Yeah.
And you're like, I got to check it again. Is there anything else? Like, I know that. So I would either.
Oh, yeah.
So the choice is, Lindsay, either you stop, you don't snoop again, and you look at this relationship as it is in the moment, how it's going in the present day. Is he treating you well? Is he a good lover? God, we haven't even gotten to sex.
I know. What? Oh, it's already.
I know.
No.
We have 1 minute. Oh, my God. Yeah. We have like a minute.
The only thing we got to was you checking your phone during oral.
Oh, my God. That's pretty funny. I know. Damn.
Why don't we make a move for that and then call it a day with the sex talk?
Okay, do it.
What should it be called?
He didn't even care, though. He's so nice. He's like, I get it, babe. You got to get the newsletter out. Like,
how about checkmate?
Checkmate. Exactly. I literally did. I'm like, who would do that? He's not really my mate. He's my oral sex mate. And
right.
he's my toy tester. Oh, God. I don't think we have time for more things. Annie, you're so awesome. And we do. We have five. Okay. Should we do one? Is there anything else that you on your mind that you want to talk about? Or should I read another email? Was there anything like you felt like you wanted to get into or things you want to talk about that you're working on? Like anything? I know the L piece. I can't
the
wait
L
to
piece.
Read it.
Yeah. That's...
She just told me about when she walked in. And the name of that is, we'll have it on our site as well.
Generation Validation.
So that can affect. That's going to be huge. It just got posted.
It did. Well, I think 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
It
made the rounds. Yeah.
I really
liked that story.
Okay,
a lot.
Good. I want to check it out for sure. But anything else that you've noticed or that you're interested in that you're working on right now?
I actually was.
You're writing for everybody. Annie's amazing. You're going to see her name everywhere. She's blowing up.
Oh, man.
She's blowing up. I mean, you're so successful at 30 that you have all that you can freelance and then you can do all this. I mean, I'm just impressed. So
why? Thank you.
Yes.
I'm actually about to be 30. I think that's my game changer decade. I'm still 29 and I feel like I'm using this year to just kind of float between things and just see what I'm doing.
Right.
Which I really recommend to everyone, by the way, if you can swing it.
Yeah.
It's like, because I feel like, you know, I did all of my 20s in a corporate job and then...
Was that at Cosmo?
At Cosmo, yeah.
I was going to ask you what you learned about, like how that changed your views of sex or what you learned about. I mean, you started there when you were in your early 20s.
Uh-huh.
So did you know anything about sex?
That's an interesting topic.
Right. That was one of my... I have like 18 million questions I didn't get to. But did it change your views of sex or what you learned or...
It did. Of sex itself, the act, or just of dating in general?
How did it affect your personal life? Yeah.
Yeah. It affected me in some good ways, but also some bad ways. And I think that the bad ways is that I was the editor of this section called Manthropology, which was basically, it was
that.
Like all inside the male brain. I used to interview you for it all the
right.
time.
Right. Loved it.
I loved it. I loved doing it so much, but I found that being the editor for it, I had to constantly be pitching ideas. So I kind of started analyzing guys more than I would normally do.
Right.
And I would become very nitpicky and I would see them do things. And instead of just like letting it go as just something
Give
that
me an
they
example.
Do, like, okay, so we did decode his Instagram and
it
was hilarious. And so it was like, if he posts mostly nature shots, then that means he is a chill boyfriend. And if
right.
he posts mostly selfies, you know, that means that he's somewhat narcissistic and all of this stuff. So I found myself, it's like when I was dating people, I would look at their Instagrams in the full screen
it,
and
right.
I would analyze them and I would be like, wait, would I normally do this if I weren't writing this
right,
article?
Exactly.
Like, is
it
this
gets
like Annie
head.
Brain or is this
right.
Annie Cosmo brain? Like, what's happening right now? So it was, you know, it's a fine
right.
line to
I agree. I do
tread.
That too.
Yeah.
Right. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And so so what else is next? Are you working on anything else that we can talk about? Okay, so we
sure.
could do one.
I'm doing a porn story, which actually I
oh, you should
I really like to interview
oh, what,
you for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Who's it for?
New York Post.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And porn watching habits?
Yeah. So it's actually based on this study that just came out, and it was like 2 weeks ago in the Journal of, oh God, like the, some big
Psychology
journal, I'm forgetting,
journal,
whatever.
Like APA or whatever.
Yeah. One of those like science-based good ones. And it found that guys who watch a lot of porn are actually less turned on by sexual stimuli in real life, which is, yeah, it's a total
thing. It's totally
thing.
Impacting the way men are relating to women, and they're having more sexual dysfunction because of it.
I think that we've talked about this before, because I wrote a story about this at Cosmo a couple of years ago, but this is now a new updated study, and it's just more
I see
info.
It. You talk. How much longer are you in town?
I know.
I want to stand there with you.
I know. Can we go to a bar and just hit on random dudes?
Yeah. Can we just go bar hit on dudes, or just Tinder the whole time and have some guys?
Yeah.
There's another site that they were telling me about earlier. I know we got to wrap it up, but there was some site they were telling us about. Grouper, have you heard this?
Where you
of dates, which is kind of how a lot of people date today anyway. They're like, hey, well, at least in San Francisco, like, nobody asks you out. Talk about the difference between cities.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody approaches you in San Francisco. Like, you don't get asked out. Here, it's like, I'm walking into Whole Foods. Some guy's like, hey, like, let's go out. and I like it. I mean, it's nicer. But in San Francisco, it's like, hey, a bunch of my friends are meeting out. You want to meet up? So that's what sounds like grouper is. But it's kind of nice because there's buffers.
Yeah.
It's like three people and three people who don't really know each other. But it's kind of like that table for six things. They used to do those dating sites that you all have lunch with like six people, but I don't know about, I don't know much about Grouper, but
I feel like I keep saying this, but I did write a story about that at Cosmo about Grouper, and the big thing there is jealousy. And so because they don't match you up, it's like three girls go out with three guys, but they don't say which guy is for which girl. So the girls, it's like they're all friends and they don't want to be competing with each other, but they totally are.
So the girls are friends, but the guys aren't? Or the guys and the girls are all friends and they meet?
No, it's like normally it's the girls are friends and they'll sign up for a three pack, and the guys are friends and they'll sign up for a three pack. And so then it's like friends going out with friends,
okay.
But usually it's like three dudes and three guys, or three dudes and three girls.
Right.
So when you do it with your friends, it's like you don't want to be competing for the cute one or for the one that you obviously all like.
But you all like the same guy.
So it's just kind of, that's the one.
Okay.
I mean, ideally it would work out so that it's like these nice little even pairs. But like, let's be honest, whatever works out.
Whatever works for you. Just try a little bit of everything. Annie Daly, it's Annie M as in masturbation. Sorry, it's first
thing.
Sorry. Daly, D-A-L-Y on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can check out all of her great writings. She writes for everybody.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, I love having you.
I'm so
great.
So
your post,
fun.
I know, really fun. We've been talking about this. We've been excited.
I know.
Thank you, Anderson. And
thanks, Anderson.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Annie, so you know toys, sex toys. There are so many toys for women, but there is the number one selling sex toy for men is a masturbation sleeve. So it looks and feels like the real deal. Like men use their hands. They're like, what the hell? What do I need a toy for? But it feels really good. Some guys say it feels like actually having sex. And my intern today gave one to her boyfriend, and she's like, he's freaking out over it. He loves it. They're like 24. And she's like, and now we don't have sex with them. I'm just like, take your fleshlight. Because it feels like it. I know.
That's
so
awesome.
So fleshlight, it is, you can feel the pleasure of having sex anytime. Not that you won't ever want to have sex again, but it's a little something to spice it up. It can also help you last longer in bed. They have a stamina training unit, and you're masturbating at the same time, and you're learning to last longer in bed, which is really important for a lot of women. So, and you might experience some of the most mind-blowing orgasms of your life. And if you've ever fantasized about having sex with your favorite porn star, she probably has a fleshlight shaped just like her intimate parts. So they're available in realistic flesh tone colors, and they feel amazing. So go to sexwithemily.com/fleshlight to get your fleshlight now. That's sexwithemily.com/fleshlight.
Perhaps play a little game called Just a Tip, just for a second, just to see how it feels.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger, host of the Art of Charm podcast, the number one dating and relationship advice podcast in iTunes.
I'm Emily Morse, host of the Sex with Emily podcast, the number one sex and relationship podcast on iTunes, and it's sexwithemily.com. And this is just the tip.
So what are some common mistakes that guys make during sex? I mean, we hear all the time, like, guys make this, guys did that, da-da-da. I think one of the most common things is guys have no idea what women want.
Exactly. That is a great mistake that many men
Great mistake.
Make. It's a great mistake. No, you're right on point with that. The guys assume that, you know, my last girlfriend wanted this, so she must want this. But, I mean, as you, you know, mature sexually, you should never assume this. You should never make assumptions that every woman is the same. So what you got to do is learn how to communicate with your partner and find out what she wants. You do not know what this woman wants. I'm telling you. First time you have sex with her, you have no idea.
You have no idea.
Like, you really don't. There's not a universal thing that every woman likes, except for maybe, you know, diamonds or something.
Right.
But that's we're talking about sex.
Okay. And what else?
The thing is number two is that you have all she needs, okay? Some women, I'm telling you, Jordan, they cannot have an orgasm with less than 3,000 RPMs. No human tongue or fingers can generate that kind of vibration. But men think something's wrong with them if they need a vibrator. And I tell all women and guys, like, don't be intimidated by the vibrator. If that's what she needs to get off,
right,
bring the vibrator into the room. Have your own little threesome there with her and her vibrator. You know, it's a lot less work for the guy and a lot more pleasure for her.
That makes sense. All right.
Yeah, and you know, people can always go to goodvibes.com and use coupon code Emily and get a discount on a vibrator.
Good to know. A little vibrator discount never hurts. And, you know, a lot of guys think that women think just like we do. So they're like, kind of, we think that sex feels the same for us as it does for you.
Exactly. And that's a huge disconnect, because when a man has sex with a woman, his penis goes into her body. So
is that how that works?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. This is sex 101.
That's mistake number four.
Exactly. But think about that. It's like off the charts. And you just think, guys are like, I can't imagine what that feels like. And they can't imagine that feeling isn't the same way for her. But the inside of the vagina is less sensitive than the outer parts for most women. So deep thrusting into the vagina isn't necessarily great for women. It's the outer two-thirds of the vagina that are most sensitive.
So you don't want to bang on that cervix.
No. I mean, it feels good for a little bit, but you want to mix it up all the time. It does not feel the same way for women. And the clitoris, just because you're having sex, you got to pay attention to the clitoris, whether she uses her hands, use your hands, or a vibrator. But the clitoris, most women need a clitoral orgasm before they even have any other kinds of orgasms.
Good to know. And we'll continue some of these sex mistakes next week. If you guys want to learn more from The Art of Charm about dating, relationships, and even networking for business, visit us at theartofcharmpodcast.com or check us out in iTunes and follow me on Twitter at The Art of Charm.
And check out the Sex with Emily podcast at sexwithemily.com and on iTunes if you want to have the best sex of your life, that is. Also, follow me on Twitter at sexwithemily.
Buying a car can be such a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar actually helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay, and that fear is the worst. Last month, over 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a car, you just got to follow these three easy steps that if you want to save money. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information, and then you lock in your savings. Third step, totally simple. All you do is you print out your TrueCar savings certificate, and then you take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Who doesn't want that? Some features not available in all states, and every day TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Why would you do that? Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.